Peter Laviolette has now joined us on the program. He's come down to sit at our level. Monday in the doubleheader, he was up atop getting a different view. How was that to kind of not be on the bench?
Yeah, it was good. You know, that game early on with the doubleheader, I really like it because it's a great opportunity to see a good portion of our players. You know, from a system standpoint, a lot of our guys have been here for so many years now that it's more of a reminder than implementing something new. And we felt like we had a pretty good handle on it. So to sit with David Poyle and just to talk about what we saw and talk about some of the players, I feel like it was really, a good day for all of us. So, we kept some of our big guys out. That was a change as well. We usually played them in this game, and it was an opportunity for them to get some time together and work on the power play and really slow things down and go through some routes and some movements and let Dan Lambert take over and do his thing. And so when we finally did put them together in the game, there was a lot of positives with that as well. But it gave us that day alone, just sitting up top, gave us a chance to look at things.
Yeah, it is. Look, we've all sat down on the glass, albeit not on the bench, and we've all been up where you are in the TV booth and where you were. I mean, it is a different perspective. Well, it sounds silly, but it is a different perspective.
You have no idea how fast this game and how physical this game is until you sit
down low
on the glass,
yes,
or on the bench and see the power behind it. And every row you move up, it slows down. And so where I'm sitting up there, it looks slow at times, but and you can actually see things developing, which you can't. Sometimes you're looking through it when you're on the bench, and when you're above it, you get a much better view of the routes and the systems and what it is that you're trying to do. So, if you usually sit up high and you ever get the opportunity to sit down low, you'll see the speed and the power of the game.
I learned, Peter, a long time ago to not doubt coaches, because I used to be like, oh, hooey fooey, it's coach speak. Yeah, talk about these camp battles. There's not really battles. They know who's going to be. I learned that, no, there actually are camp battles. And so when you say that certain guys are vying for a position,
right,
every year, they really are. Sometimes it plays out and sometimes it doesn't.
Right.
You've got some intriguing camp battles here this year. I remember last year, this time we were going, who's this little Rocco Grimaldi guy that the Panthers took in the second round?
Sure, that's a perfect example. And, when we say it, it's true. And that, that's a player that wasn't on our team. So you're talking about a player that wasn't on our team. Right now, we're looking for somebody to play 18 minutes a night up front on the forward position. And so that's a battle inside of our camp, and we're trying to evaluate that to get that right and to get that piece right. And it doesn't have to be something that's written in stone and that's it. It's the way it is. But right now we're looking to start something and then maybe show a little bit of patience with it as well and give it an opportunity to see if there's some chemistry. There's guys that were on our team last year that might have been scratched, and right now they're looking to get into the lineup. So those battles do take place in camp. But Rocco Grimaldi is a great example of somebody who impressed the crap out of us in training camp last year, and we were able to watch him grow as a player. We had to send him down to the American Hockey League. If you remember, to start the year, he was one of their top scorers and really did an excellent job. We found ourselves in a position where we needed a player and never looked back. He was one of our stronger players as we moved through that Dallas series. So it just goes to show you that there's something always available if you come and work hard every day and try to do the right things and play with passion and purpose. Good things can happen.
I want to make you uncomfortable. I want to talk about you.
Sure, sure.
Year
six. Let me figure out how I can deflect this really quick.
At least gave you a heads up, right?
Now I'm thinking about it, okay? Now I can put it
Shield
on.
Is up.
What a beautiful day it is today, isn't it? Gorgeous outside.
Let's go back 6 years ago when you took this post, which, by the way, year six. That time has flown.
Yeah.
The mindset of you coming into this market, not that you were unaware, but you had spent a lot of Eastern Conference. Haven't really spent any time here, to where you are today and that everything in between. What has that journey been like for you?
Yeah, I feel like I'm the luckiest coach in the league for being in Nashville, Tennessee, with our ownership, with our management, with the players that are in the room right now, with the coaches that I get to work with every day, and the fan base for me. And to watch the fan base grow and explode to where it is right now, I tell people all the time, and then I have friends that come in. I just had friends for this last exhibition game come in. My son plays down at Florida Gulf Coast University, and the moms came up. They call themselves moms of champions because they back-to-back national titles. Nice. Down at FGCU. So six of them were in town, and my wife went with them, and I had some friends from my high school hockey team in town, and their kids, and they were obviously older now, not in high school, so they've got kids that are now turning 21 and 23, so they came to Nashville. They could not believe the building, the rink, the atmosphere, and it was a preseason game.
It was an incredible
atmosphere. And so, I mean, I've been here watching, and you're right, I've spent all my time in the East, and if you remember going back, there was a time where the East only came to Nashville once every third year.
Yeah, right.
You'd only play the division.
That's right.
And so, you know, I might not have been here for 3 years. There's a chance that on that third year I could have been fired. Like I might have missed it. I might have missed the trip. Yeah. I might not even have made it. And so I feel like I was hardly ever in Nashville. I didn't know anything about it. And I remember when we were taking the job and I was talking to David Poile, we were leaving to coach the World Championships that next morning at like 6 a.m. And there was a decision being made that night. My wife and I are looking like, Nashville? Are we doing Nashville? Like we're not even sure about what it's all about. And for me right now, Nashville, one of the best cities in the United States. Nashville's Predator Hockey, one of the best hockey markets in the United States. It's just awesome. I love it.
Good job by you working in two back-to-back national champions.
Yeah, FGCU. moms of champions.
That's nice.
Well, speaking of the moms, I was talking to your wife, Kristen, and you mentioned your connection to the East, but your daughter Elizabeth is now committed to play at Boston College. So you and Mike Vrabel have got to get a little chapter like the Boston College fan club here. He's got a son playing up there.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that, I mean, Brian Poile, Boston College,
and the
Poiles. And so there's lots of people who, you know, have gone to Boston College. It was a long process this summer with my daughter. We have spent a lot of time. She's a good softball player. She's a real good student. We were looking at a couple of teams up. She wanted to go back to New England. I said, you know, have you ever really played softball in New England? Are you sure? Like, we're Florida residents, yeah. And Jack goes to FGCU. Yeah. I'm like, FGCU still talking to you, sure? And you're not going to wear a T-shirt until, like, your second playoff game. And so she was adamant. She wanted to go north. And so we were looking at a couple of really good schools up there, like Brown and MIT and Boston College. We went and visited, and it became available, and it became an option for her to play and go to school there. And we quick booked a flight and went up and toured the campus, and it was just spectacular. She's grown up with hockey her whole life. Since she's been 3 years old, she's been going to hockey games. She wanted to go to a college where she could support a hockey team, like a big-time hockey team. She loves going to her Brentwood High School football team on a Friday night. She wanted to support her college football team. I mean, she's got it going on. She's playing big-time softball, and you know, she's going to get that experience from a hockey standpoint, from a football standpoint, from a school standpoint. She wanted to be near Boston. She wanted to be near our family. So we're just over the moon about her being able to go there and be a part of that program.
Now, I was told, now you tell me your version of this story, that Brentwood High, you know, she's the captain, senior, the players only practices, you know, get-togethers, workouts, and she had to shut you out. You wanted to come in and with the glove, and she said, you can't come.
I did. I had my catcher's mitt ready to go, and I'm thinking, well, if you hit ground balls and if you do everything, you're not going to get the work yourself.
Yeah.
So me and another dad, we're all geared up. We're in our sweats, and we got our ball cap on. I got my catcher's mitt from when my first son got into baseball when he was 6 years old, so 15 years ago. I got my mitt ready to go. And she's looking at me. She's like, you're not coming, Dad. And I'm like, what do you mean I'm not coming? And so I was, like, so dejected walking around. She went out the door, and Kristen's looking at me like, I'm like, are you kidding me? I can't go practice? So captain's practice only.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
I'm curious how the guys have come back. Like, you could put together a tournament last year of the really good teams like you guys that lost in the first round. I mean, it's a tough league. The Tampa Bay Lightning, go on down the list. Yeah. So that's got to be tough to live with over the summer. But it looks like the guys have come back with a good attitude. The success has been good in the game so far. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I think every day away from a tough ending. And let's be honest, they're all tough. It was tough 2 years ago, and we made it. We went to the second round. They're just tough. We're in the business of winning and being successful, and we want to be successful inside of that room. And when it doesn't happen, it's tough. Every day away from that puts you towards the brighter future that's out there and the new season that's out there. And so as the end of July rolls around and guys start getting back on the ice in August, that's almost in the rearview mirror. Certainly you remember what happened, but it's more about trying to see what's coming and trying to get ready for that and prepared for that. And as they get to training camp, we got a great group of guys in there. I mean, they come back in shape, and they're unbelievable people. As you guys know, just dealing with them, they're terrific human beings first and foremost. So that makes my job a lot easier. And so we're fortunate about that. We've got great leadership in the room, and training camp's gone really well. It's been fast. It's been physical. There's been guys vying for jobs, and I really like the way we played the games. You know, we got the one loss down in Tampa, but we sent a group down there that was, we were missing some real key veteran players. I love the way we played. I mean, we had that game. We were doing the right things, and now Kucherov scored a big goal. Go figure, yeah, right? Yeah. With 30 seconds to go, and we didn't get the results. But it was more about, for me, it's, you know, in training camp, it's really about the process and the evaluation and trying to get things onto the ice and get them going well. I thought we played a competitive game down there. We just didn't get the results we were looking for. So things have gone good. We got a couple games left where we're still evaluating, still want to get better, and that's our goal.
Peter Laviolette is with us, Predators head coach. And I told these guys that I ran into at Brent's dinner, and we talked for a few minutes, and I said he was over the moon about the rookies. And this was after the rookie showcase. Yeah. Now that you've seen them all through a training camp, what did you learn about the youngsters in this organization?
Well, what I really liked about the rookies, just starting going back to the rookie camp, was I've been here now for, this is my 6-1 where I've watched the rookies play. To me, we looked like we were we looked like we were more NHL ready. And just the way we played that game, I thought we played excellent in the rookie games. We found success, and that had to do with the players that were on the ice. And so I thought it was really good starting there. And then you know, they start to make that move into the big camp, and they're starting to mix with our guys that have been here, and they start to play games. And again, I was just impressed in practice and in games. You know, we just sent a whole bunch of guys down to Milwaukee to either, A, continue their career or start their pro career. That doesn't mean we're disappointed with them. Those moves have to be made. You're only allowed to keep 23 players, and those players are available to us at any point. Whenever we want a player, but we want to keep them playing, we want to keep them developing. And all of our players have gone through that, from Colton Sissons to Victor Arvidsson to Philip Forsberg, Kalle Järnkrok, Roman Josi, Pekka Rinne. It's a development league, and we need them on the ice and developing. And when they are ready, when they do start to make that move up, and they might go back to Milwaukee and then maybe up again, there's no set path on how it works. You know that they've been developed the right way. And so we're thrilled with the way the guys played. And you know, sometimes even they look at going to Milwaukee as a demotion. We look at it as part of the process.
The game the other night, the way it ended with Pitlick scoring the goal, and obviously the goal is what you want to win the game, but how he stayed in that play and fought for the puck, that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, so he obviously had a real impressive camp. He was really strong in the rookie games. He was strong in the games that he played for us, and that's what you want, right? You want to put your young players out there in overtime and not have them try to figure out what's going on, but to actually know what's going on and to make a difference in the game and in the outcome. And so he was able to do that. Tolvanen with a big goal at the time to get us. I felt like I was really happy with our group because I felt like we just kept we were chasing the game, and we were behind. We caught it. We're behind. We caught it. We're behind. We caught it. And so you know, we're able to hang in there. But it was the contributions from Pitlick. It was the contributions from Trennan, who got in a big scrap. It was the contributions from Josh Wilkins, who made the pass to Tolvanen. And so there was a lot of good things that went on inside of that game that we were real proud of our young players.
I'll say this. I said in postgame, what stood out to me as we talk about preseason in all sports, that last sequence, you have bodies flying everywhere, bodies like Forsberg, Duchesne with the goal.
Yeah.
Johansson. This is a preseason game.
Yeah.
These are your top line guys, and they're fighting like it's the last game of the season to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know if this factored into it, but maybe that's from not playing them at the beginning. You know, they want to play. They want to compete. They never want to be out of something. And so we held them out. We worked on the power play. There's risk that goes with playing in those early games, and, you know, you try to protect your players a little bit, but eventually they got to start playing. So this was their first crack at it. I thought all the guys that you just mentioned were awesome. And that goes, I've seen that go different ways. I've seen veteran players come out on the ice in preseason games, and they just, you know, it leads to a lot of frustration from a coaching standpoint, because you're like, well, all right, it's preseason. You just kind of shake it off and be like, well, let's get to game one. Enough of this. I thought they were awesome. I mean, they compete. And Matt Duchesne said it best, you know, like he hadn't played in front of a preseason crowd like that ever. Mm-hmm. And I think it was the way the game played out, too. And the fact that we were chasing it, the fact that we did tie it with the goal he pulled, we did win it in overtime, we were all jazzed up. Everybody was. So, I mean, that's awesome. But that goes back to the original question about Nashville, you know. That's our fan base. That's the Bridgestone Arena. That's the location of it. It's just awesome. I love it.
You spoke earlier about the summer and, you know, coming off of disappointment in a tough league. Not many changes to this team this year, but yeah. You did have PK leave. Matt right. Duchesne comes in. Dan Lambert, part of the coaching staff.
Right.
How big has it been to have a couple of different voices in the room?
Yeah, it's definitely different in a good way, in a positive way. You know, PK was awesome. I told him that when he left. Like, he brought so much positivity to this team, both on the ice and off the ice. He's a giving human being, and he gives constantly of himself to others. In his time here, we were a really successful hockey team, and that's got a great deal to do with him. You know, we ended up making that move, and Dante Fabbro started to show who he was, and we felt like we could do that. We feel like we've got other good defensemen as well. Dan Hamhuis has played well during the year, and we just feel like we were able to make that move, and what it did was it allowed for a guy like Duchesne to come in, like you said. And you saw him the other night. I thought he was dynamic with his game. I know it's exhibition. I know it's preseason. But, you know, sometimes you are who you are. And he was a dynamic player on the ice, so that was really positive to see. Dan Lambert, I thought he, you know, taking those five guys out and giving them 3 or 4 days to work on the power play, I thought it looked really good in game one. So that was a positive. Well, those voices I think are important. Those players are important, and now we got to put it together for the regular season.
All right, you survived. The hot seat is over.
I made it.
No more questions about you. You handled
good job.
It perfectly.
I made it.
Hey, thanks for doing this.
I'm going to be late for practice. I'm glad you guys are happy.
Good to see you. Thanks for doing this.
Take care.
Head coach Peter Laviolette, we appreciate him stopping by our table. We will take a break. We will come back more here live from Centennial Sportsplex on Darren, Donick, and Chase.